Turning now to item number three, the director's report. Director, it's all yours now.
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, thank you. You have a written report, so I'm not going to go through it word by word, but I will touch a couple items. And actually, I should have had Nate just stay up because I do want him to give the update on wolves. I think lots of people in the audience will be interested in that. And he certainly has closer knowledge on the actual capture work and stuff that we've done. And so I'll let Nate cover wolves, and then we'll talk about the other topics.
Mr. Chair, commissioners, good morning. Nate Pamplin, Assistant Director of the Wildlife Program. A few items on wolves. Of course, this is really the pretty busy time period for us from a field perspective, both in terms of our efforts associated with wolf captures as well as outreach with livestock producers. Turnout, you know, generally occurs here June 1, and so very busy working with operators, but also have our capture teams out. We did have deployed two collars in the Smackout Pack area in northeast Washington, as well as captured an animal in the Profanity Peak Pack area. Interesting looking at how the animals responding, it might actually be unclear if it's where we thought the Profanity Peak Pack is or is it's associated with another pack further to the north. But so that's something we're still trying to assess. We just had some staff or our partners indicate some good wolf activity as far as being able to center in for trapping in the lookout pack area. So we'll have teams moving in that direction here soon. This winter and the spring, we've been pulling together what we're calling deterrence plan. And of the 16 confirmed packs in the state, we have essentially a summary for each pack. For 15 of the packs, one pack resides on the Colville Confederated Tribe Reservation, so we don't have the information necessarily on that pack. But those pack summaries that includes the map of the home range, the allotments that home range intersects, a description of previous conflict, and then the types of work that we're aware of that livestock operators are doing to try to minimize wolf-livestock conflict, those will be posted to our website. We're currently coordinating with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and with USDA Wildlife Services to update our response guidelines. Those were adopted in 2009, and it's essentially an MOU of who's on first base for when there's a conflict, in particular for areas of western two-thirds of the state where wolves are federally listed as endangered. As mentioned by members of the public this morning, we have our first meeting of our newly formed wolf advisory group, where we've doubled the membership from 9 to 18 members, representing a wide variety of interests across the state. It was a really good meeting, a one-day meeting in Spokane, really focused on relationship building and for members to get to know each other and their backgrounds and assessment of what skills and experiences and perspectives they bring to the table. And then followed by a tour up in northeast Washington where folks got to see firsthand and hear from livestock producers in a couple different scenarios of what they're doing to address the potential for wolf-livestock conflict. Folks know that our wolf policy lead, Dave Ware, is retiring here at the end of this month. He reminded me this morning he has 10 more business days. I am probably need to get a defibrillator mounted outside my office. He's just been a huge contribution to us in this role. So we'll certainly miss him. We have a recruitment underway. I actually have interviews scheduled for a new wolf policy lead here later this month. We have a couple external folks joining me on the interview panel, so pretty excited about the applicants that we have and that process moving forward to get somebody on board and in that position in particular before things really start heating up with the potential for conflicts. It seems like August and September are pretty tough months for us in wolf management. And then lastly, been coordinating with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and thinking about putting together a field day for media just to talk about wolf biology, wolf captures, non-lethal wolf management techniques. And so hopefully that will come together this summer. But I think that's really important. The media is a direct pipeline of information to the public about wolves, and we want to make sure that we're able to work with them to make sure that some of the basics about wolf biology or the techniques are included, so that we just avoid the inadvertently pushing more misinformation about wolves out to the public. So, okay.
Yeah. Good. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know who to look to.
It's your report.
Better look to the boss.
Okay.
We'll just look up.
Thank you, everybody. I want to thank you, Nate, for especially the outreach component that seems to be just getting better and better. I mean, I hear a lot when we get into these depredation incidents with wolves and whatnot, the public just wants to know. So I think having the deterrent plans on the website is going to be really neat, really good for our outreach from a department standpoint. Having the allotments, having the territories of the wolves, and I think we talked, there might even be some information on the number of livestock that are in an area. You know, that's just good, solid business. I'd also like to suggest, and I don't know if it's possible, but as long as that location is available on the website, I've had a lot of requests over time to understand, you know, which wolf is related to which wolf and where they came from. And I know some of the wolves we've trapped and looked at, you know, we've done DNA analysis. And so that would be a great spot to just get the public aware of, you know, how wolves move around and which pack came from BC and which pack came from Idaho and eventually even which pack came from which pack within our own state. So just great stuff. And I'd like to thank you for what you're doing there.
Any other questions?
Okay, I'll proceed. Just we've been having a good spring Chinook run on the Columbia River, so that's been nice to see, about 40,000 above original estimates. I can attest that the fishing's been pretty good. And so anyway, things are going along. I think if you have a chance, read that Dungeness Crab section. That's very interesting. If you recall, earlier in the year we closed razor clam seasons, and now that same issue is moving up the food chain and is causing us to take a close look at crab season. So anyway, that's an interesting report. Licensing, because of this nice spring, we're having strong license sales. That has allowed us to take a deep breath on some of our department financial needs and budgeting issues. As you recall, I think I mentioned last time, we backed off our fee bill request for this year. We're currently making plans to spend the next 18 months communicating with our customers and the legislature, other policymakers, on where we're at in the department, what kind of priorities the public would like us to have, and what the right size and right budget for a healthy fishing wildlife department is. And so over the next 18 months, you're going to see us all hands on deck getting out and talking to people and getting some feedback about what they want to see in the department, what some of their pet beefs are. This morning we talked a bit about complexity of regulations, some of those sorts of things. I think there are some things that we can do to be more customer responsive, and that's things we're going to try to identify and look at over the next 18 months. So you'll be hearing a lot about that, and I'll have an ask for you to help with that effort over the next few months too. With that, I think I'll want to move to an important part of my presentation today, and to do that, I'm going to ask Dave Whipple to come up. Dave's our section manager for our hunter education program, and Dave's going to talk briefly about that, and then we have an exciting award to give out. So,
thank you, Director Unsworth. Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, good morning. My name is David Whipple. I'm the Hunter Ed Division Manager for Department of Fish and Wildlife, and very pleased to be here today. And Hunter education topics don't normally come in front of the commission. It's a pretty quiet division in terms of regulations and intersection with all of your business. So I thought it would be a really good little piece of business to just provide some context for what you're going to hear in a minute. And that context really pertains to the Hunter Ed program. And so a little bit about the program. It started in 1957. And as you may know, hunter education is required for Washington hunters if they're born after January 1 of 1972. We feel, and I think we're right, that DFW's hunter ed program is one of the best ones in the country. We deliver it through, like everybody else in the country, all the other states, we deliver it through volunteer hunter education instructors. We currently have nearly 950 volunteers implementing hunter education in the state. These folks are teaching hunter ed because they're incredibly passionate about passing along how to be safe, ethical, and legal hunters. They're the backbone of hunter education and critical for passing on the hunting heritage and the conservation ethic. We certify in this state approximately 14,000 students every year, and just last year, those 950 instructors put on over 700 hunter education classes. And like all instructors nationwide, our instructors have a variety of levels of experience and years of experience. I heard some discussion about earlier in the public testimony about volunteers that have many, many years of volunteer service. And hunter education instructors are no exception to that. They have 20, 30, 40, and even beyond that years of experience. And that just tells you about the passion of this crowd. Some of those folks teach just a handful of classes each year. But a lot of those folks are teaching in rural communities and in isolated areas, and they're filling a very important critical demand, meaning that critical demand for students out there. Some of them teach classes and certify, you know, many, many classes and certify hundreds and hundreds of students. And then there are also something that we call chief instructors. And those chief instructors are folks who manage their individual teaching teams, and they take on the added burden, besides teaching, of doing all the administrative work and all the managerial work and making sure that they're providing the linkages with our department staff and in order for the teaching teams to have the equipment and supplies necessary to conduct all their classes. Some of those instructors go even well above and beyond that. And we're going to introduce here in a moment an individual who fits that bill. This individual has gone, I can't even describe how many things he has done for the agency, not just in terms of teaching classes and managing teams, but mentoring individual instructors and really helping us build our program and implementing the program into one of the best in the country. So with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Director Unsworth for the presentation of the award.
Great. All right. Steve, can you come up? And everyone, this is Steve Mills. In 2013, Steve got the department's award for Hunter Education Officer, or what do you call it? Hunter Instructor of the Year Award. Well, this award we're going to give him is actually an international award. So this is very special.
That's cool.
And I don't know if we'll... I'll let you hold it. That's pretty heavy, but that's a beautiful piece of bronze. And let me talk a little bit about Steve. He's worked for us for many, many years as a hunter education instructor, but he's gone far beyond your average teaching a class here and there. He's prepared materials for us for years. He's worked on PowerPoints. He's worked on all kinds of educational materials for our instructors. And so he's an integral part to the department's whole program. He was unable to make the national awards banquet a year or so ago, so we wanted to make sure we got the recognition here. Steve continues on an annual basis to certified folks. In fact, just last year, he assisted in 32 classes, certifying 800 students, taught six classes for new instructors. So this is the instructor that teaches the instructors. And he recruited 45 instructors himself. And he's traveled with our staff from around the state and does clinics and helps us train people. So anyway, Steve, thank you very much for your work. And so I want you to introduce them, and I'll then say a few words. And I can hold that.
My daughter's here, and my son and daughter-in-law are in the back. They really appreciate it, so everything that has went on. Glad to help the department advance itself in any way we can. We've seen other states transferring to online, both totally online, and we've worked very well with, within the community here to make sure that we have an excellent program and try to work well with it. So, thank you.
Well, again, thanks, and please, I don't know if you're going to stick around very long, but take a chance to shake his hand. You've done a tremendous job for the people of Washington. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And with that, that will conclude my presentation this morning.
Thank you, Director. I'd just like to add a couple words, Dave and Steve. You said it, the Hunter Education is a kind of a quiet program in the background. I disagree with that. I think it is one of the most important programs that we do as a department. I'm an advocate of getting youth outdoors, as all the commission is, for all of the right reasons, not just to be a hunter or fisherman, but to get them disconnected from the terminals in the house. And having hunters out there, young hunters that are ethical, safety conscious, and good sports people, doesn't just happen. And it's the dedication of individuals like you, Steve, and I really do take my hat off to you. It is a critical part of our future. A lot of what we do here every day is dealing with conflict, and it's dealing with polarization. You're for something, you're against it. What you guys do, we all have to be for, because it is our collective future of the next generation of sports people. And the disservice that sometimes the media does in showing a disrespect for hunters, that as a hunter myself, I find it hurts that hunters are the foremost part of conservation, of the conservation ethic, in the footsteps of Leopold. But we all know there are slobs in every sport. And unfortunately, the slob hunter is the one that generates a lot of media attention. You guys are ensuring that that sort of attention will be limited with each passing year. So my hat's off to you. Congratulations on an award well won. And you do a great service for the future, for the department, and for your family. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Chair?
Yep.
I just, on it also, thank you. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful effort that's put forward. I just want to make sure you do not plan on retiring for several more decades.
Mr. Thurmer.
I also want to recognize the work of the program and thank you. And also add, we're talking about hunting and hunter education, but I see Christine Redmond here, who is our volunteer coordinator for the department. And volunteers in general contribute a lot to the work of the department and are a way of introducing young people and others to the world of wildlife and fish. And so I want to recognize that the Hunter Education Program is an important volunteer program, but there are other volunteers in other areas that we also should recognize.
Well said. Any other comments? Thank you.